nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello and good evening to you. Thank you so much for being part of Nationwide on Radio Miraya. We are coming to live from Juba, and today we are going to be looking at the Tumaini Peace Initiative. Can this dialogue deliver a lasting peace in South Sudan? That's what we are going to be discussing with my guest, who will be joining us live from Nairobi, Kenya. And like I said, today we are going to be discussing the Tumaini Peace Initiative, which has just handed over a framework for dialogue on South Sudan national consensus. After years of conflict and failed peace efforts, many South Sudanese are asking whether this process will be any different from the past, and what does this framework propose, who will be included, and how will it lead to a real change in South Sudan. And to help us unpack all this, I am joined by Ambassador Guyo Ali, who is the Deputy Chairperson of the Tumaini Peace Initiative, and we will also talk about key pillars of the framework: inclusivity, elections, security, the role of the regional actors, and what comes next. And he joins me right now, live from Nairobi. Good evening, Ambassador Guyo, and thank you so much for taking time from your busy schedule to speak to the people of South Sudan through Radio Miraya this evening.
Good evening to you, and thank you for having me.
All right, let's begin about this framework, the Tumaini Peace Initiative. I've just handed over a framework for dialogue on South Sudan national consensus. What are the key pillars of this framework?
First, thank you so much. This is a very important moment in the history of South Sudan and the history of our region. We have provided the stakeholders with the framework for the Tumaini, and the key pillars include primarily immediate cessation of hostilities, stabilization, civilian protection, humanitarian access and assistance, trust and confidence building measures, aligning the national charter that will be developed with the existing legal foundation, that is interim constitution, and also create a pathway for elections that is credible, timely, free and fair, and then also the post-election priorities, which we designed. This is critical, long-term issues that cannot be rushed through the transition, that the new government will come and take charge of it, and this is include the permanent constitutional making process, transitional justice, durable solutions for IDPs and refugees, and then the security sector transformation. And by the way, all this will be distilled into a national consensus charter for peace and democracy for South Sudan. These are the key ingredients and key pillars that informs this charter.
And let's talk about the issue of inclusivity. Who are the stakeholders or the participants you have delivered these letters to?
As you know, unlike during the time of the CPA and during the old age mediation, we have democratized and ensured that the peace processes are fully participatory, have a popular consensus, and therefore no one should be left behind. And in this case, we have decided deliberately to have the government to participate as a stakeholder, as well as the opposition, the civil society, faith-based women group, youth, and traditional leaders. So these are all important stakeholders with parity, equity in the process.
And people will be asking, what about the holdout? Do they fall under the category of opposition?
Yes, the holdout group are part of the opposition. By the way, remember that, yes, we had a holdout group to the RXs before, but now the holdout group more or less increased in terms of the definition of the opposition. And this, of course, included the SPLM-IO, which we also provided this framework with, and as well as also NAS, SOMA of General Thomas Cirillo. We have all sent to them as a critical player in this process.
Have you started receiving any feedback from these groups?
Yes, so far we have started getting feedback, and the feedback is positive in the sense that there are certain clarifications that this group wanted. We have provided the clarifications for those who called us, and also will engage with them very soon, starting probably in the next one day or two, so that we also gauge their reflections and whether they seek clarifications or any other issues of concern to them.
Are these clarifications of more concern to you, or you think these are minor issues that can be ironed out very quickly?
These are minor issues, So far, even what we received, some are matters of procedures. Some are also on certain clauses that we put in the framework. So it's a technical issue. It's not really a big issue as such.
And how is this framework different from the earlier dialogue process that South Sudanese have been seeing before?
It is different in terms of procedure and also in terms of substance. For procedure, we have decided that this is going to be a multi-stakeholder process, non-hierarchical in approach. Participants are equal as stakeholders. And also, there's this shift that we have injected, and that is the shift from adversarial posturing and zero-sum negotiation to problem-solving rather than fixed position. These are some of the important enrichment that we have brought to this process rather than the other one. And also, you realize that this is a time-bound dialogue, time-bound in the sense that the stakeholders will come and negotiate the agenda of the framework strictly 4 weeks to the maximum of maybe an additional 2 weeks. But as it is now, 4 weeks is our goal. Then the other one, of course, is the usual one. We have framed the framework as South Sudanese-led and South Sudanese-owned process. In terms of substance, the substance are also unique in the sense that we want to end the transition in a peaceful, amicable, win-win, free, fair, credible, and timely election. The perpetual transition in South Sudan is our concern, and therefore we want to end this transition. How? We want to end the transition through a key pre-election priorities, as I mentioned before, cessation of hostilities, stabilization, civilian protection, and then key parameters of election has to be also be discussed. And all aspects that can lead to a free and fair election has to be put in place, logistics, the mechanism, and all this, so that the transition can end in an elected government. The post-transitional dispensation, that is the new government, will be in charge with other important long-term processes, like, for example, the constitutional making process, which sometimes takes even 10 years or even 20 years. The unification of forces, which is also sometimes takes long-term. Transitional justice, the same. And other important economic parameters, development, and so on. These are all issues that requires long-term issues, but we have also, by the way, provided some leeway that the framework is not cast on stone. Therefore, it will provide a hybrid whereby some of the processes can start within the transition, but continues until the post-transition phase.
Okay.
Thank you.
And when will this negotiation start? When will the 4 weeks begin? Because many people are saying that in the past dialogue which we witnessed last year, even the parties could take even more than a week to agree on one agenda. How sure are you this time that this time around the parties who are coming to Nairobi will agree on all the agendas provided by you in a single day?
Yes, this is a very important question indeed, because the framework proceeds on the basis of a draft South Sudan National Consensus Charter, which will be drafted based on existing agreements, existing constitution of South Sudan, and the consensus of and aspiration of the people of South Sudan, which, for example, the architect of the CPA, like General Sumbeyo, is fully aware about the aspiration of the people of South Sudan right from the CPA time during the Axis and the R-Axis and now to Maini. Therefore, it should not be a big issue for us to come up with a draft national consensus before the stakeholders arrive. And therefore, we move away, as we say, from individual position, sectarian position, ethnic position, regional position, to provide a unified draft national consensus charter for deliberation by the party. So we cut down the time of that position posturing and so on and so forth.
And what happens to the previous protocols that were initial in the past? Are you going to start from there, or this is a new chapter altogether?
Yes, we are going to make use of all those protocols. We are going to make use of existing agreements. We are going to make use of any reference material documents that are available that has been crafted by South Sudanese. And therefore, remember, this is a South Sudanese-owned and South Sudanese-led process. And therefore, all the materials we are going to use are materials that in position with the South Sudanese. And therefore, it shouldn't be a big deal for us to come up with this consensus charter that will guide the way to short-term and long-term transition.
And you didn't answer part of my question. When will this initiative start? Is it this month immediately? Which date?
Yes, it will start this month. We have put the date of 9th, and depending on the speed of the stakeholders' readiness, we are ready as facilitators to welcome the stakeholders anytime before 9th and start the process.
And what guarantees exist by the parties or by you? What guarantees are there to ensure that the parties who are coming to negotiate will negotiate in good faith, but not use the dialogue to buy time and delay reforms in this country?
Guarantee is very important. First of all, the National Consensus Charter itself has to guarantee itself. It must have a self-executing enforcement instrument as it is implemented. The other one, of course, as you know, this process is anchored at the high level, facilitator being, and the platform for the Tumaini process provided by His Excellency President William Ruto, and then the regional involvement of IGAD and other partners within the region, within the continent. Remember, we have also Africa Union C5. So we are looking at assembling critical actors that will provide guarantee for the national consensus. But by and large, the national consensus itself should guarantee itself through, as I said, self-executing enforcement instruments.
Okay. Yes, Ambassador, many South Sudanese are very skeptical about this peace process due to the past failures. Why should South Sudanese trust this initiative of the national consensus this time around?
This is very important because I've been involved in many peace processes, the South Sudanese peace process and others within the region. This process is critical, is important for South Sudanese, and it is also important for the region. Participants, citizens, stakeholders, sometimes they tend to have doubts about peace processes. It is the nature of the peace that we are trying to search for the people of South Sudan that has eluded many, many years of engagement in peace process. And not only that, as one of the statesmen of South Sudan said, there are so many agreements in South Sudan that are also dishonored. So we are aware of all these facts. We are aware of the shortcoming of the Tumaini, and we have a lesson learned on that. We are also aware of the shortcomings of the implementation of the Araxes. These are all critical lessons that we will put in place as we deliberate on this national consensus charter.
Okay. If you have just joined us right now, you're listening to Nationwide. My name is Sunny Martin, and on the line from Nairobi, I have Ambassador Guyo Ali, the deputy chairperson of the Tumaini Peace Initiative, and we are discussing about this framework for dialogue on South Sudan national consensus, and you have heard from him. It's going to be strictly 4 weeks, beginning on the 9th of this month, which is just next week, I think, next week. And our lines will be open to you later. We can call on 091-206-7879 or 091-206-7929 and ask all your questions. And also you can send us your comment to our SMS number 091-2177-141. And I will be reading all your questions to Ambassador Guyo Ali, who is joining us live from Nairobi this evening. Yes, Ambassador, before our lines are open, I would like to put this question. It has been a song in South Sudan or here in Juba by all by some parties that there must be election this year, no more extension. And this National Consensus Initiative is coming at the time when we are only left with about 9 or 10 months to the conduct of the election in December. Does this framework clearly addresses the question of election, timelines, conditions, and credibility?
Everyone wants the transition in South Sudan to end, and to end amicably on a win-win basis. Win for everyone, particularly the people of South Sudan. Everything, success, proceeds on the basis of good faith and goodwill. Once the good faith and goodwill is there, election can be even held within 6 months or so. So 9 months is even way over 6 months. But for South Sudan, of course, there are certain critical infrastructure has to be put in place. Parameters for elections. Those are critical. And we, of course, given the state building, institutional building in South Sudan, the status and so on, it is important for one to make an assessment of how when one can appreciably have a credible election. But this will be answered by the people of South Sudan, the stakeholders, once they come for the deliberation of the National Consensus Charter.
Okay. And is there any plan to ensure that there is a cessation of hostilities? Because right now we have pockets of fighting happening in some parts of the country. Is there any effort by your team right now to ensure that at least a ceasefire is declared by all parties before any talks can resume or begin?
In fact, we are in touch with some of the groups that under arms, and the cessation of hostilities, stabilization and the civilian protection, in addition to also humanitarian access and support, are some of the important priorities that the Chief Facilitator General Sumbeo already is engaged with. And this will build also the trust and confidence. Trust and confidence and cessation of hostilities, these are two-way street. And therefore, it is about give and take. We are in touch with all actors that are progressing with the armed conflict, and hopefully they can declare some kind of a cessation of hostilities. But we will negotiate with them as an agenda item on how to achieve this cessation of hostilities and civilian protection.
Okay. You earlier on mentioned that some groups have already sent in maybe some concerns for clarities. But has any group so far confirmed their participation, and who are they?
I think it is important for us at this stage to, you will hear about the group soon, it will be public. Yes, clarification, yes, including even tomorrow and the day after, we'll do consultations, of course, which comes with a number of other things that the stakeholders want to clarify. So we have a number of them who are ready. We have also others who are writing to us to be included as part of the process.
Okay. Yes, yes. Right now our lines are open. You can call us and send us your question to our SMS number 091-2177-141. And we have a number of questions coming in here. This is saying, yes, I have a question to Ambassador. This is from Daniel in Juba here. He says this is a very good initiative. He would like to know, does the mediators have a specific number of how many people each party to the conflict will be sending to avoid cost and also avoid overcrowding and make the process move faster?
We are actually in a discussion about this technical aspect of logistics, the number of participants. There is no need to duplicate participants because sometimes you find that when it's the government sends so many number of people, opposition the same, women group, youth, and so on. So this time what we want to do is we want to have a representative. We want to really cut down on the cost and for those representatives to carry the substantive message of the people they represent. So there's no need to join the process just for the sake, but come and represent, you know, your group. So cost is one thing, and also having so many people in one space who duplicate, of course, each other's work is also something that we want to avoid as much as possible. But in the principle of inclusivity, we also want to ensure that no one is left behind. It has to be truly inclusive. This is also the directive given to the Chief Facilitator by His Excellency President Ruto, that the process has to be inclusive, this process has to be credible, and therefore we are engaged on that parameter.
All right. Yes, you can call us right now and be part of our discussion. Hello.
Yes. Good evening, Martin, and greeting to Ambassador Guyo.
Your name?
Yes, this is Tango Juliet, currently in Juba. I have three questions, if you'd allow me to ask.
Okay, that's if you can go quickly.
Yes, my first question is this. How do Ambassador balance the regional interests, knowing very well that in this conflict in South Sudan, some countries within the region are accused of taking part in it, especially Uganda? That's one question. The second question, it's about, you talk about the representative. The CPA is, people are saying it's successful because during the negotiation, it was the top leadership of the rebel group, which were represented by John Garang, who was the decision maker, and the Sudan government, which was also represented by Ali Osman. So why do you want to go for representative rather than going for the top leadership of these warring parties? That's the second question. The third question, we have RXS, and now we have Tumaini Peace Initiative. What measures have the facilitators and the region put in place to make sure that the top UPA don't find them, I mean, the top UPA leadership don't find themselves in the way the SPLM IO found themselves in this country or in Juba? Thank you.
Okay. Yes, Ambassador, the first question is about the interests of the region and how do you balance those interests in terms of the negotiation. The second one is about talking to the top leadership of the warring parties, people who are involved, people who can decide and stop the war or reach an agreement within the four given weeks. And the last question is about those holdout group, most especially the UPA group, in case if they come to Juba and sometimes implementation becomes difficult, things don't move.
These are important questions indeed. Now, balancing regional interest. Basically, what we are trying to achieve is to have within the region as many stakeholders or other countries that can provide support, political support, diplomatic support, and resources of any kind. And therefore, within the African continent as well, a reach out is in place to make sure that we are also aligned with other important actors, other important players, especially, for example, the AUC5, the Africa Union C5, championed by South Africa. We are in touch with them, IGAD the same. And the balancing of this regional interest is always our priority, and our aspiration is to make sure that those who are engaged in a peaceful process in South Sudan, in peacemaking, to prioritize the people of South Sudan, to prioritize the infant state of South Sudan, which is just 11 or 12 years old, and also to prioritize the stability, the cohesion and integration, and taking the cue from the fact that this region is in a very fragile state, and this region is enmeshed with many, many fragility, vulnerability. So this is how, therefore, we balance this on the basis of not only geopolitics, but also the morality of politics and geography within our region. And as far as the negotiation by the top leadership is concerned, as I said, we have taken upon ourselves, learning from the lesson of the CPA, to liberalize, to democratize, to ensure there is a popular consensus in peacemaking in our region. During the CPA, as you know, the agreement was reached, and since they were absent of civil society, women group, youth, traditional elders, faith-based, General Sumbeo took upon himself to move from one county to one region of South Sudan to another to popularize, to sensitize, to create awareness for the people of South Sudan about the CPA. So that lesson, therefore, means that for South Sudanese to own and to lead their process, there must be a representative of the diversity of the South Sudanese people so that they are able to take charge of their destiny and also be able to popularize and sensitize and create awareness in their localities. The mediators, yes, can do it, but it can be well done by the people of South Sudan, the representatives we are talking about. The holdout group, here, the peacemaking proceeds on the basis of, as we say, goodwill, good faith, and also on the basis of to guarantee security and to guarantee those who go back and implement the process. We are aware about the non-implementation or the shortcoming that has bedeviled the Araxis agreement, and of course even the previous agreement. Having learned lesson from those failure, the National Consensus Charter will ensure that the implementation mechanism, as well as also the security and the freedom of movement of the leaders, will be well taken care of. And that will be done, of course, within the trust and confidence building agenda, which will be robust, which will be implementable, and which we will also ensure that we bring on board the region, the IGAD, to make sure that the National Consensus Charter is not in vain.
Okay. Yes, we can pick one or two more. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, your name. Good evening.
Good evening, Sunday Mate.
Your name?
Jacob Dio from Juba.
Okay, Jacob, go ahead.
Thank you. You know, when we hear about the other initiatives coming up for the peace talks in for South Sudan, mm-hmm. it breaks our heart because the previous ones had hopes from all of us, but nothing prevailed. Now, why is the trust issue become an issue in South Sudan? What is the difference between Tumaini and what we are going for? Second, this time I am appealing to the government of South Sudan and the government of Kenya to limit the issue of incentive, because this has become a project. Mm-hmm. Remember, the peace talk in Addis Ababa was a project where people got a lot of money to come back and do their own thing. So they prolong so that people continue to dialogue. What if you are only giving food and accommodation and I come back dry? Tomorrow you will implement so that you come and settle at home.
Mm-hmm.
Can that be reduced completely?
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. And Ambassador, there is another question here coming via our SMS number. He says, I see your initiative may be frustrated by the split within some parties in South Sudan. We have SOA, who are now having two groups, and then we have the SPLM-IO having also two groups. We have the group of Dr. Riek Machar, while those of Oyet Nathaniel are following him, and we have the group here, the interim group of the SPLM-IO headed by Honorable Stephen Paul Kwol. Which group are you inviting to this initiative? Is it going to be another challenge for you? This is from Jackson here in Juba. Maybe you can take that all together with the Jacob Dior, who was talking about the issue of trust deficit among the parties in this country, and also what is the difference between Tumaini and the national consensus. And can you also reduce the incentive or podium for all the participants who are going to go there in order to make them work faster?
The trust issue is actually one of the big issues across the world. It's not limited to South Sudan. We are dealing with the issue of trust on a daily basis at individual and also at community and the state level. So we need to nurture, you know, this trust can only be achieved when there is a clear communication, when there is a spirit of collaboration, spirit of patriotism. That is the time we can actually build. When there is a breakdown of communication, then there is breakdown in trust as well. So what's the difference between Tumaini and this national consensus? By the way, this is also Tumaini initiative. It's not something different. We have Tumaini initiative before, for Sarjan, and now this is a Tumaini initiative that tries to reinvigorate, to ensure that we learn from the previous engagements and implementations and now provide a clear path on the way forward. So there's no difference at all between the last Tumaini and this one. This one elaborates the other one as well as other issues. That's why we are saying that let these talks be, or rather dialogue be, within 4 weeks. We should be in a position to be through with this. And so the issue of major incentives and so on, long-drawn mediation, long-drawn negotiation, will not be there. In terms of who to invite, then we have this split all over the place within the political parties. Well, we will invite as many representatives as possible, of course, taking into consideration the credibility of the parties that will be invited will be a strong factor for us, so that we don't invite a duplicate of the other. But where there is a clear distinction of a split, of course, the chief facilitator, General Sumbeo, will provide us with the guidance on how to go about this. He's been involved in many processes, and he understands clearly how we normally go about this kind of issue.
We just want to find out from you the role of the regional actors like Kenya, the IGAD, the African Union, in supporting these peace process. What specific role do you expect from this region to play in ensuring that at least this time around there is a tangible outcome from this national consensus?
For example, IGAD is a critical player in peacemaking in this region. It is actually a champion and a steward of the peace processes, including the past ones and as well as also the Araxes and so on. If you recall that in November 2024, President Ruto and President Salva resolved that the Tumaini process transition to a regional process, and that is under within the framework of IGAD. So that is also in place so that we don't duplicate, we have coherence, and also ensure that the implementation is properly aligned, and instead of reinventing the wheel on many aspects, there is already a decision to transition to Tumaini to the IGAD process. Of course, with that also, the Africa Union, within the C5 especially, AUC5, become a critical player in this as one of the key guarantors of the Araxes, who have also, will have, in fact, there's a meeting that is scheduled for in Addis Ababa and the sidelines of the Africa Union Summit. That is the AUC5 and IGAD heads of state meeting. So therefore, the issue of Tumaini will definitely come up, and therefore it will be aligned within the regional framework.
And when is that happening?
It will be 15th of Feb this month.
Okay. And as we conclude, Ambassador, finally, what would success look like for the Tumaini Peace Initiative 1 year from now?
1 year from now, we should be in a position, first of all, to have signed the National Consensus Charter. That would be one of the success. 1 year from now also, we need to see silencing of the gun in terms of cessation of hostilities, peace building, reconciliation, taking roots. This is also something that we envisage. Then also, 1 year from now, we also envisage that the implementation has gone to an appreciable extent, that most likely election will have also taken place, or there is almost election taking place 1 year from now. That will also contribute to the success. Then, of course, the return of IDPs and also refugees is also important aspect. State building, institutional building, peace building and reconciliation, these are all aspects that we envisage will be part and parcel of the implementation of this charter. And, of course, the leaders of South Sudan, and, of course, the new government, or rather new dispensation, or if by that time we don't have new dispensation, there has to be an appreciable visibility of the Republic of South Sudan within the region and the international community. And by the way, there is also one important fact before we conclude that I want to really, really emphasize, is that South Sudan is actually a breadbasket of this region. And South Sudanese, they are able to struggle, and they are resilient people. We have seen that during the struggle for independence. We want, within this period, that the resilience of South Sudanese, that spirit comes up and towards state building and nation building, so that the Republic of South Sudan will become a shining example in the region and the world.
Thank you so much, Ambassador, for taking your time to speak to the people of South Sudan as well, Radio Mirai, this evening. We appreciate your time so much.
Thank you so much, Sunny.
Yes, and that was Ambassador Guyo Ali, the deputy chairperson of the Tumaini Peace Initiative. He was talking to us on the line from Nairobi. As you have just heard, that the Tumaini Peace Initiative, or the National Consensus, will begin on the 9th of this month, and it will run for, according to him and in his own words, strictly for 4 weeks in Nairobi. And the participants are already confirming their participation, raising some few concerns for clarity. The news is coming next at the top of the hour in English. Join my colleague, Gabriel Shadar, for the second part of Nationwide After the News. Stay tuned.